Are we heading for recession? These numbers from the Commerce Department, they don't look very good. GDP declining 1.4% in the first quarter of the year. You get two quarters of that and you are in recession. A lot of people are worried. So what do? How do you invest in this kind of environment? We're going to be joined a little bit later in the program by Charlie Dombeck from Key City Capital to discuss all of that. It's pretty amazing, though, when you look at how this market is effectively ignoring all of these warning signs. Today, anyway, we'll see what tomorrow brings. It's been extremely volatile as of late, and one understands that in light of not knowing what the future holds. The Fed is looking to raise rates. Imagine that. I'm actually saying raising rates for the first time in a long time. Raise rates by a half a percentage point next week. What will that do to the economy? Right now, the market doesn't seem to care so much. You've got a Dow Jones Industrial Average that's up 1.7%, S&P 500 up 2.3%, NASDAQ up 2.7%. Of course, it's been losing a lot as of late. So that's a good sign. That's a good sign. But what's really behind it? Is this because investors think maybe the Federal Reserve won't follow through with all these rate hikes? We will discuss. Plus, look at this. Investors just buying up shares of Meta today. This is the company Facebook, of course. Now it goes by Meta. Anyway, they own Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, and they had a pretty weak report on their quarterly earnings, revenue growing by single digits for the first time since the company went public about 10 years ago. And yet investors are loving it. They're buying up shares of Meta. It shows you expectations are everything, right? You've got to really guide expectations. If you manage those well, then you can surprise to the upside. And even when you're only getting single digit revenue growth, it suddenly is a pleasant surprise. Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Trish Regan Show. I am Trish. It's so good to have you here. Just a quick reminder, there has never been a better time to invest in precious metals than right now. It's a big part of diversifying your portfolio. We'll talk about it a little bit later because I'm watching gold creep higher in today's market, $1,891 per ounce, $1,891 per ounce. Go to legacypreciousmetals.com for more. LegacyPMInvestments.com, LegacyPMInvestments.com. Portions of today's show, again, are brought to you by that company. We're going to talk here a little bit about gold later on, a little bit about real estate, because you need to know how to invest with the potential for a real recession. But let's start first with this kind of schizophrenic market. I mean, I think that's the best way to describe it, right? This is like a form of schizophrenia here because the markets are suddenly higher despite a lot of the bearish signals that we've seen. I mean, both from tech companies and their earnings. You've seen bank reports, Deutsche Bank, a recent one this week coming out warning of a major recession. We got the GDP report today showing that the U.S. economy declined by 1.4%. And as I said, you get two quarters of that. And that is the definition of recession, two quarters of consecutive losses in growth, negative growth. But people seem encouraged. And part of that reason may be that they're thinking, well, the Fed really can't do what it wants to do, right? I mean, the Fed is not really going to be able to raise rates the way perhaps it had hoped in light of the negative numbers on GDP. It's also possible that they're looking at some of the consumer spending numbers and saying, well, you know, consumers seem to be holding up okay, so maybe we'll get through this. I will say this, if Jerome Powell can pull this off, if we can avoid a recession, then he will go down as the greatest Fed magician in history. But let's be realistic. Typically, this doesn't happen, right? Typically, if the Fed is looking to reduce inflation the way they're looking to reduce inflation, you wind up in a recession. If you go back over the last 80 years, every single time the Fed has tried to do this, what do you know? You wind up in recession. So keep that in mind amid all of this. And I'd also say, look, you know, recessions are cyclical. They happen. We may be due for one. There's a lot of things going on the global front, supply chain issues that are continuing now, energy issues with energy prices going up. In fact, crude oil around 104 today, $104 a barrel. All of these things are going to affect the overall economy. We just need to be able to make sure that we can push through and get through to the other side. And today, anyway, investors think that. I don't know as I'm as optimistic as them, but look, it's always nice to see one's portfolio going up. Let's get to shares of Meta right now because the company is soaring today despite a really weak quarterly report. And this is why I say, you know, expectations really are everything. Meta, I think, had really kind of helped guide Wall Street saying, you know, it's not going to be that great. It's not going to be that great. In fact, it wasn't that great. Revenue grew by single digits, 7% revenue growth. That's the lowest revenue growth the company has had since it went public about 10 years ago. Operating margins and operating income declined amid higher costs for the company. You saw share repurchasing that was actually pretty decent, and yet the lowest that they've had most recently. And yet the company's trading way up. It's one of the biggest movers in the session. So why would that be? Why do you have a weak quarter with sales growing just 7% and everybody suddenly saying, okay, well, you know, we want to be in this stock? Well, part of the reason for that is the stock has been so beaten down. It's off roughly 54% from where it was at its high, which was roughly 8 months ago. So consequently, people are saying maybe it's time. It's kind of like when we talked about Netflix, and you know, Netflix has clearly been challenged. In fact, I'm going to look at shares in Netflix right now, clearly been challenged, and because people were so upset that it had lost so many subscribers with the expectation of losing another 2 million more. You say, at what point, though, does the stock get beaten down enough that you're more interested? In fact, yes, shares of Netflix really moving higher today, up almost 5% at $197 a share. So, you know, not the $600 it was in January. But at some point, these stocks get beaten down enough that people say, maybe this is an opportunity. Of course, they have to hope that we do not go into recession, because if we go into recession, then, of course, people don't have as much in the way of discretionary income to spend on things like Netflix. Facebook's a little bit different in that it's relying a lot of advertising dollars that are coming from businesses. And so if they see a slowdown in the overall economy and the global economy as well, that would then mean a slowdown in revenue growth, which actually, in fact, was reflected. But right now, anyway, investors, they're moving forward. They're moving on. They're always like 6 months ahead. And they're thinking, okay, well, maybe in 6 months, the company's going to be in a different place. So they want to get in and buy now. Turning now to this really bad GDP report. And I say it's really bad because, you know what, this is the first time we've actually seen the economy decline since the horrible days of COVID. We fell at a rate of 1.4%. That's an annualized rate in the first quarter, all according to the Commerce Department. Again, the data just coming out. And what are we to make of this? Does this actually mean we are heading for recession? Don't forget, the definition of recession, of course, being none other than consecutive quarters of decline in the overall economy. So if this happens again, we're kind of in trouble. I'm joined again on the program by my friend Charlie Dombeck. Great to have you back, Charlie, from Key City Capital, who, by the way, has been predicting this, thinking that we were heading in this direction. Maybe not as soon as it's happening, but Charlie, you've been warning about this for quite some time. Give us your reaction to the GDP numbers.
Yeah, so, you know, in the pandemic, in the early stages, we saw GDP decline, but we expected a recovery. We got the recovery. This is a little bit different. We have been talking about this event since I have been working with you on your show. It was a bit unexpected by the markets, but not unexpected by us. And I believe we are in the early stages of an economic correction, potential economic recession. And here's the thing. We have not even experienced the significant interest rate increases that the Federal Reserve is poised to enact. And 13 out of the last 16 times the Federal Reserve increased interest rates, we ended up in a recession. And now you have major banks around the world predicting potentially very severe economic recession coming forward.
Yeah. I mean, that was a new report out of Deutsche Bank just this week. A couple weeks ago, they said maybe it would be a mild recession. Now they're talking about a major recession. I don't know how the Fed manages to move rates that much higher and not actually cause an economic slowdown, an economic pullback. I mean, as you point out, it's really very rarely been done. I mean, if you look back over the last 80 years, every time they've tried to actually reduce inflation by the amount they're trying to reduce inflation by, which is at least 4 percentage points, what do you know? We're in recession.
Absolutely. And the Federal Reserve is facing an economic cycle that they haven't seen in generations, where we're having to use interest rate policy to push down rather than prevent inflation. And the interest rate increases have to be significant. They're more significant than they originally predicted. And the problem we now have is prolonged inflation as a result of the ongoing Ukraine crisis. And now what people aren't really talking about is we have COVID China. And if you look at what's happened in Shanghai over the last 6 to 8 weeks, we've had a major lockdown there. Shanghai is the largest port in China, and there is container after container backlog there. And I think we're going to experience major supply chain issues coming out of China moving forward because of COVID lockdowns that are occurring there. And the problem is, even when those containers leave the port in Shanghai, they're going to sit in the port of Los Angeles until someone can unload them. So what does that do? It continues to push up prices and exacerbates an already inflationary environment. So it's very troublesome. I do not know how we can avoid a recession moving forward. And people need to take money off the table, find the stores of value, and protect their capital.
Okay, so that brings me to the next part of this conversation. And we can get into some other things because we've got tech earnings that are very interesting right now, which are suggesting also maybe a slowdown in some spending in the overall economy. But what do you do? Like, if you're an investor at home saying, wait a second, I don't have the stomach for this volatility, I'm nervous about recession, where do you put your money?
Again, we reiterate what we've been telling people for weeks on end. We protect and preserve capital. And what does that mean? It means redeploying capital out of equities into those asset classes that represent a store of value. And as you know, I am a big proponent of multifamily residential real estate, which is our primary asset class that we sponsor here at Key City Capital. And you just have to look at statistics to see what's performing well. Rental real estate performed exceptionally well in the first quarter of 2022, and that asset class will continue to perform well in a higher interest rate environment with continuing inflation.
So that's what's kind of interesting about this, right? Because it's not your typical recession. You still have the inflation that's getting embedded into the economy. I mean, I guess bringing us to the stagflation environment, which I would think is probably very good, you know, not necessarily good, I want to qualify, for the overall economy or American consumers, but certainly good for your industry, for your business, given that one would think you would still see an appreciation in rents and in the valuations of your properties. And so I guess this gets back to why you want to be diversified into things like real estate right now.
Right. I mean, if you look at what happened in 2021, we had exceptional rent growth across the nation in multifamily rates. It was the best year in maybe as many as 40 years for multifamily rental real estate. Rents were up about 13.5% nationwide last year, but there were winners and losers. Of course, the losers were the blue states, upper Northeast, upper Midwest, some of the California jurisdictions, but the winners were the Sun Belt states. Right. The jurisdictions in which all of our portfolio is located. And in Tampa, for example, rents were up 35%. Oh, in Dallas-Fort Worth, 25.3%. In Memphis, Tennessee, north of 25%. And those economies have a tremendous amount of runway left, because not only are we seeing people move there in those jurisdictions, but we're also seeing major corporate moves. And there's an infrastructure that takes 3 to 5 years to build out when these major corporations move to these more favorable, business-friendly, tax-friendly, safe jurisdictions in the South.
Right.
And
when you're investing in the middle of all this, these are the things that are obviously going to benefit your portfolio. I also think what you guys are doing is pretty interesting, because it's different, frankly. I mean, you're I guess for lack of a better term, almost creating this private equity market for everyday Americans, right? It's not the multimillionaires, like zillionaire billionaires types that are investing with you. It's high net worth individuals, but everyday folks, in the sense that this is a product that's, in my view, a little bit more equitable and that it's available to a lot of folks. Tell me about specifically what you guys are doing.
So these products have typically not been available through your traditional financial advisor. And today, your financial advisor will not have access to the types of investments that we sponsor. These are considered off-market investment opportunities, and they're available for what I call the mass affluent. People that have a net worth between, say, $1 and $20 million that are largely underserved by their team of financial professionals. Their tax accountant, who generally doesn't do a lot of planning, their financial advisor who has limited choice. And so from an investment perspective, you get direct access to ownership of a portfolio of multifamily high-performing residential real estate where you're considered a fractional owner of each asset in the portfolio, which means you get the tax benefits and you get the benefit of the rent appreciation and you get the benefit of the increase in valuation when these properties perform very well and are ultimately sold. So investors benefit from direct ownership. We as a sponsor do well when you do well. Right. When our portfolio performs well, we get a small share of the profits in addition to what our investors receive. So it's just a great way to invest. It's complementary to what you have in the financial market. And today, because of the economic turmoil, the threat of a recession, the ongoing inflation, interest rate hikes, this asset class, in my mind, is going to be the top performer. And because of the economies we focus on, you'll get great performance.
You know, I think it's so important for people to think about that diversification always in their portfolio, right? Too often people are like, okay, I'm putting it all into the market. Oh, it's going all into, you know, some tech heavy fund or a certain, you know, group of stocks that they pick out of thin air. And I think you need to be thoughtful and think about what are the other places that one can put money besides just in equities. So this is one opportunity for folks. Any reaction to the news we got out of Facebook today? So the market, I guess, is pleased enough, right? Because, you know, it's all on expectations. You've got Facebook not delivering, shall we say, on its earnings, right? And that's of concern. And yet, because they were able to grow their user base, investors are kind of, for whatever reason, willing to ignore that. I don't know as I like that, Charlie, by the way, because, you know, I'm a fundamental gal, and I like to know that the business is actually making more money rather than just adding new users. Any thoughts
on cash flow, right? It really is about cash flow. And what I thought we saw cash flow and what I thought we saw at the early part of this week was the markets finally waking up to the threat of a recession and to what the economy is going to look like when the Federal Reserve starts these significant interest rate increases. And we saw a big sell-off late last week, carried over into Monday, and then we had earnings come out on Facebook. And I think what we're seeing is a sprinkling of a attempt to rebound from a massive sell-off, but we still have massive downward pressure on the equity markets, and we're going to see continued pressure as the Federal Reserve moves into its interest rate hikes. So my sense is you've got to be defensive. We're still going to see a lot of volatility. We're going to see continued downward pressure and maybe a handful of days where we attempt a rebound that's not sustainable. And like we've been saying for months, Trish, the gains that we experience from day to day occasionally are not sustainable. Don't get fooled into the trap of placing your capital into these opportunities because you're still in an environment with a significant amount of risk and a significant amount of downward pressure. And my whole point at large is, look, if you put all your money in financials, what is your average rate of return over a career of work? Maybe 8 to 10% at best. I call it slow growth. And what that does is it forces many people to work well beyond normal retirement age. And we all want out on the rat race. We all want freedom of choice to engineer the day that we ideally want. And by diversifying your capital into other asset classes like the real estate, like alternatives, you actually get a significant boost in investment performance, which ultimately gives you that pathway to what I call a period defined by pre-retirement, where you have more choice, more financial freedom at well before normal retirement age.
In other words, maybe your money's working for you. That's the whole point of investing, right? And I think that given everything that's happening and the inflation that's occurring, it's causing people to really rethink. And this is a good time to do that. I think that people really need to reassess and figure out what the next couple of years are going to look like. So they should give you a call, Charlie, over at Key City Capital, keycitycapital.com. You can also go to keycitycapital.com/Trish and mention that you did see Charlie on this program. It's always good to have you here, sir. Thank you so much for all your valuable insight. And I guess people should just buckle up and be prepared and diversify. Give Charlie a call. Thanks, Charlie. All right, right now I want to give you an update on a story that we've been talking about on this program, and that is the consideration of student loan forgiveness. The president has said he's going to come forward with a decision on this issue within the next couple of weeks. So that decision is imminent. He said, and I quote, "I'm not considering $50,000 in debt reduction, but I am in the process of taking a hard look at whether or not there will be additional debt forgiveness." Now, I reported on this a week or so ago, and it looked at the time as though there wouldn't be a tremendous amount of debt forgiveness. It would only affect a small percentage of the people that have these outstanding loans. And it looked like it would just reduce the number of years that they were paying interest on the loans. But we'll see how this all comes together. I mean, it is clearly a political hot button. And there's a lot of fear that if you just give out more money, then and erase the debt, then you're going to create more inflation within the education sector. The problem we have, of course, is that someone's got to get this under control, because we've been allowing people to borrow so much money, and young people, right, that maybe don't have a full understanding of what it means to be paying $50,000 a year for college. We've been allowing them, enabling them effectively. The U.S. government has, through all of these loan programs that really need to be kind of reconsidered, right, in light of everything. It's not fair. It is not fair for these kids to graduate so heavily in debt. And yet simultaneously, it's not fair to just say, okay, we're going to wipe it all out. And so this is the dilemma the president now finds himself in. You have a lot of people saying, just get rid of it all. A lot of people that say maybe, you know, canceling $10,000 per borrower could actually be helpful in terms of wiping out, I think the number is $321 billion in federal student loans. If you did that and eliminate the entire balance for a whole lot of people. But the problem, yet again, is the moral hazard argument. And people say, well, wait a second, I paid off my student loans. Why aren't they paying off theirs? It does tell you this. We need a new system, right? We need to be able to encourage everybody to get as much education as they possibly can and should. But without these massive inflationary issues, this is not going to work really for our society going forward. It's not right. It's not fair. All right. I promised you I would mention gold here. Again, Legacy Precious Metals, one of our wonderful sponsors of this program. Gold climbing back up towards $2,000 an ounce. I saw a report recently where some folks over at Goldman, I think it's heading to $2,500. I think that's quite possible in light of everything that's going on in the world right now. I like gold. I like gold because it's one of those ways to help create more diversification. We were just talking, of course, with Charlie about diversification within your portfolio, whether it be real estate or something like this, right? Gold is one of those things that helps to even out all the fluctuations in the market, specifically when it comes to inflation. And we have inflation. It is there no matter what. It's been there historically at 2 to 3%. That's what the Fed kind of is shooting for. They've gotten themselves a whole lot more than they bargained for with 8.5%. But that's, again, why you want gold, because gold helps to protect your purchasing power. I mean, in the purchasing power of the U.S. dollar has just been eroded, really, you know, over the last 49, 50 years. I mean, you think about what a dollar could buy you in 1972, say, versus today. In fact, if you had $100 back in 1972, it would actually, and you could go out and spend that $100, what you'd get with it is around the equivalent of nearly $700 today. So it shows you how everything just keeps costing more. And that's the trajectory we're on, which is why I like going back to gold, which has been proven over thousands of years to hold its value over time. And, you know, there are times when the market does better than gold and times when gold does better than the market. But it's one of those things that you can hold on to in your portfolio and know that you can be reassured that you're going to help even out some of those imbalances. So call my friends at Legacy Precious Metals today, 1-866-589-0560, 1-866-589-0560. They can help you get a gold-backed IRA. They can help you get the real stuff if you want it in your safe deposit box or in your basement. Again, 1-866-589-0560. LegacyPMInvestments.com is their website. You are welcome to use my name. They're very good friends of mine, and I promise you they'll take very, very good care of you. But really make sure that you're thinking about diversification in light of everything that's happening right now. I can't urge that enough. Anyway, thank you again for listening to the show, for watching the show, for being here, supporting the show. You can join me over on Locals. That's trishregan.locals.com. You can join me on my website, trishintel.com. I do hope that you are downloading the entire audio version of this podcast on Spotify, Apple, iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts, and join me, of course, on my channels, both on Rumble and YouTube. It is wonderful to have all of you here. We're going to talk some more tomorrow.